This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Before we get into the great state of New York football, let's say good morning to the guys. Good morning, Chris Canty. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick. I'm a little bit on edge right now. I made my way into the studio for the first time in several months, and once I got across to Henry Hudson, it took me about an hour and a half on the West Side Highway before I actually got to West End Avenue. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Was there an accident?
No, there was a really bad accident on the West Side Highway, and for some reason, people feel the need to rubberneck to no end. As a matter of fact, the jack wagon that was in the car in front of me decided that they wanted to slow down and record what they were watching as they drove by, which is absolutely ridiculous. Almost created another accident.
That's the driver? Like, that's not the passenger. That's the driver of that car?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Yeah, I understand you'd be in a way. And yeah. And I don't know.
One of these guys are jerks or something?
To even say, yeah, they really are. I mean, I like you, Rick, but I'm sure you're not in a great way this morning.
No, I fixed the toilet, and I had Jersey Mike's yesterday. I mean, those are the highlights of the weekend. That's about it.
That's all you got going for you, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're fixing the toilet. It's like Viagra for my wife, so that was good. And then I had Jersey Mike's yesterday.
Whoa, you had some highlights this weekend, man. You watched the game in Atlanta on Saturday. Some highlights there. 5 touchdown passes in the first half?
Yeah, that's amazing to me. Scored
that many points. That's what you have to look forward to as a Jets fan.
Yeah, which is sad. I mean, they'll find a way to ruin him, too. I mean, just everyone keeps saying Andrew Luck. What happened to Andrew Luck?
Yeah, he retired early because he got the career beat out of him.
Exactly right.
Ryan Grigson, the former general manager, didn't put an offensive line in front of him. By the time they got that in place, the kid had already decided he had enough.
Yeah, that was the best way to describe it. They beat the career out of him. That's exactly what they did.
Now, hang on. We're burying the lead here. What's wrong with the toilet now?
I fixed the toilet. It just was running.
Why is there? Wait, you have more toilet issues than anyone I've ever known.
Well, this is what happens. I mean, it's not my fault. Cassie decided to flush the magic wand into the down the toilet, so I had to fix that. And now, I mean, it's been good. And all of a sudden, the thing just kept running and running and running. And she's like, "I think we need to call a plumber." I said, "No. Let Uncle Rick take care of this thing." I looked at it. Back needed some water. Filled it up. Yada dee, yada do. Toilet's fixed. I'm the hero. And there you go.
So after you got done, did you leave the tool belt on?
No, there was no tool. I didn't need. There was no need for a tool belt. That was strictly just me. I was gonna snake it, just in case I needed to snake it.
All the tools you need.
And away we go. 800-919-3776. I mean, we have New York football to discuss.
Oh, Dave, come on. Rick talking about that story about unclogging the toilet is way more entertaining than New York football. Stop it.
That's true.
Come on, man.
However, a win for the Giants, which does not come often. I mean, it was embarrassing. They did everything within their power to hand that game away. Nonetheless, the Giants in the win column, 1-5, beating the Washington football team.
And we'll take it, Dave. I mean, you don't have to get style points for it. Daniel Jones was able to find a way to let me not say it that way. Daniel Jones almost threw the game away. Let me say it this way. Tay Crowder and Kyler Fackrell, along with Ron Rivera, found a way to make sure that Daniel Jones wasn't a goat this morning. How about that? Does that come out a little bit better? Because that's essentially what happened.
Yeah,
because I mean, the story would have wrote itself. Daniel Jones throwing that interception in the red zone after you just got a fresh set of downs, thanks to the DPI by Kendall Fuller, that's just completely unacceptable. I mean, at this point, he should be past that. That was his 18th career start. I mean, if you're going to throw the ball in the throw a ball away in the red zone, throw it in the damn stands. What are you doing? You leave it close to being in the field of play, and I know people want to go back to the replay review and his elbow was out of downs. My whole thing is this. Why even allow it to be that close? Why leave it up to the officials in a replay review?
Yep.
Throw the ball away or take the sack. You still got 3 more downs after that. That was 1st and 7.
Yeah, throw it away.
Throw it away. I don't understand that. Like, at this point, we shouldn't be making those types of decisions.
No.
Now, they got the win, but, I mean, in a lot of ways, man, you're just looking at it and saying, is that what it takes for the New York Giants to beat Kyle Allen in the rudderless Washington football team? I mean, listen, we're not going to line up and play Washington every single Sunday. Daniel Jones got 4 career wins and 3 of them against Washington. At some point, you're going to have to find a way to beat somebody else. I love the kid. I root for DJ, but I'm just tired of the mistakes, Dave. You can't defend bonehead decisions right now. You just can't.
And
it takes away from all the good things that he did in that game. Like, he had the 50-yard run on the zone read. Great pull read. Great play. You saw him use his wheels, his athleticism. You like seeing flashes of that. But there's too much of the bad stuff that's sprinkled in there.
I love the fact that they won the game. And people say, well, you know, now you're not going to wind up with Fields. I don't care. It's week six. I'm not looking to lose games. I love the fact that they won this game. But I will tell you that if Washington had converted on that two-point conversion, the story of the day, of the show, would be that, again, in the red zone, first down, Daniel Jones gave the ball away. And in essence, it would have been giving the game away. It has to stop. Now, were there some good things yesterday? There were, and I'd hope there would be. I mean, Washington is a horrendous football team. So you won a game you should have won, but you did. I mean, it felt like everything in your power, Rick, to give that game away and to not win it.
Yeah, but it is the beauty of a win, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, had they lost the game, all we would focus on is Daniel Jones' turnover. That's it. That's the only thing we'd be talking about. And people would be calling in and saying they got to get rid of – the Giants need to get rid of – first of all, got to get rid of Gettleman, and then they got to get rid of Daniel Jones. But they won the football game. And, you know, R.J. Bell called it on Friday. He said Flipper Hands Kyle Allen would find a way to fumble the football, and that's exactly what he did. And
he calls him Rivera, Flipper Allen, which is so great.
Which is hilarious. But yeah. I mean, why go for it there? The Giants
makes no sense.
The Giants hadn't scored an offensive point in the second half.
You're talking about Washington for the
two-point
conversion.
Yeah, the strength of your team is your defense.
Yeah, I don't know.
It made no sense to me at all.
No sense. No, I guess, that's his nickname, right? Riverboat Ron, he's going to go for it?
But usually you have the analytics to be able to support you. Right there, the analytics did not support Ron Rivera going for it. I think he had a 49% chance of winning that game if you kick the extra point, and you had a 46% chance of winning the game if you go for two. So even the numbers told you that you shouldn't go for it, and based on what you saw in the second half, to Rick's point, like, there was no need to force the issue. I mean, even if it's going into overtime, you feel better about your team's chances the way you've been able to move the ball in the second half as opposed to the Giants, especially with Daniel Jones looking a bit shaken after he threw that interception. So I don't understand that decision at all, but I just felt like in that moment it was Ron Rivera making the decision to bench Dwayne Haskins a couple of weeks ago and go with Kyle Allen. He was trying to support that decision by getting a win in regulation against a division opponent on the road. It felt like that got the better of him, just trying to double down on the decision that he made 2 weeks ago.
Like, I'm all in with this guy. And
well, he has
right
to be,
now.
Doesn't he? He has to be. You benched the guy that you used the 15th overall pick on a season ago.
But you had all the momentum in the game. That's what I understand. You know, you come all the way back, you had a great drive, you put a touchdown on the board, you kick the extra point. It's not like you give the ball to Pat Mahomes with a chance to go down and win it. And the Giants, odds of them putting points on the board are slim anyway. And even if they get into the red zone, odds are they're going to turn it over. So I don't know. I have no understanding of why he went for two in that moment.
And it felt like it's only a matter of time, too. I mean, at some point, all it takes, you go into that game goes into overtime. I mean, your defense is creating one negative play away from all of a sudden giving your offense good field position. You kick the field goal, and that's it. Like, that's the strength of your team is the defense. It's not Kyle Allen.
No, the Giants put, what, one touchdown on the board in the entire game yesterday?
Yeah, which is
that was a beautiful ball, too, by the way.
It was a beautiful
ball. Beautiful ball.
And those are the moments that you watch when they happen, guys. You're like, oh, God. You know, for all the first and goal interceptions, you watch moments like that, and you're like, God, he there's something there. Like, you can see that there's something there, and that's why you don't want to give up on him so quickly. But I'm happy that they won. I am. And I know I heard a lot of people say, oh, yeah, just lose and tank the season. Nobody wants to lose every game. Nobody wants to tank the season. As a Giants fan, you feel a little bit better that your team won the game yesterday.
Yeah, but I don't think you're that bad. I mean, I think this is a team that's going to progressively get better. I didn't think your offensive line was terrible yesterday.
No.
I mean, you only gave up the one sack.
And did you notice the big difference in the offensive line yesterday, too? Yeah, Matt Parrott getting the start because of Andrew Thomas violating team rules.
Yeah, he missed the meeting. It was late to a meeting.
Yeah, but either way, I mean, you could say it's not for performance. It's because he missed a meeting or whatever. He came in late. But the offensive line wasn't as bad as it was with Andrew Thomas being one of the starters.
Right. And I got to be honest, Chase Young did nothing in that game yesterday.
No.
Nothing.
Not at all.
Was I didn't even know he played in that game yesterday.
Yeah, you didn't hear his name.
No.
At all. No. Which is positive. I mean, this Giants team, in the way they reacted after the game, after they won, you know, kind of shows you how they feel about their head coach, which is a positive thing. And I think as the season progresses, this team will continue to get better, as opposed to the Jets. Well, you feel like watching this team, they'll just continue to get worse and worse and worse, which is what's happening right in front of our eyes.
It really is. Now, I've heard a couple people say this morning, Chris, and I'm not there, and I don't think you're there either. This division is up for grabs. The Giants are 1-5.
You haven't heard.
You're going to hear this. I'm telling you. There's going to be rumblings of this because if Arizona wins tonight, the Giants play in essence, a battle for first place on Thursday night against Philadelphia.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. I mean, we got at some point you're going to have to find a way to be able to string some wins together, and the Giants haven't shown that they're able to do that on Daniel Jones. Like I feel confident in some of the things that Joe Judge is trying to do in terms of instilling the right type of culture that's going to lead to sustained winning, but we're just not there yet where this team is going to take off. We're not there where this team is going to ascend. I don't think we're going to see this team go on some kind of winning streak. I just don't see that, especially with the way that they played on offense yesterday. Their offense is bad, Dave.
It is.
And Washington has given up the most explosive plays in the National Football League. Going into that game yesterday, I want to say they had given up 8 plays of 40-plus yards, which was by far the most in the National Football League. And they gave up another one yesterday. So, I mean, Washington is not a good football team. That's not a good gauge in terms of where this team is at. Were they able to get their first win of the season? Yeah, that's great. But the Giants are still really, really bad.
Really, really bad. All I'm saying is that they have a, and you can argue it and say it's not true, but it is true.
Mathematically, it's true, Dave. Okay?
There's a possibility. Thursday night. That's all I'm saying. They have a meaningful game on Thursday night.
You're being a hack now. You're better than that. Come on. You're better than that. Don't be a hack.
They do not?
No, they do. I mean, I guess they do. But, I mean, you watch these games. I mean, you give it the eye test.
They stink. I get it. I'm not defending what they are. I know what they are. They're going to be a 3-win team probably. All I'm saying is that for a fleeting moment, the Giants fan looks at this and says, hey, you know what? The division is awful. We're better than Washington. Philly's all banged up. Dallas is now going about it with no quarterback or not, you know, Dak Prescott. Why can't we win a couple games?
Yeah, but
here?
Philly's all banged up, and they're a 2-point conversion away from tying that game up against one of the best teams in the AFC.
I mean, you
were a 2-point conversion away from losing to the Washington football team.
I understand.
That's a big difference.
Giants stink.
Okay, so don't be a hack then. I mean, you don't like fans like that. Be realistic. Let's not start conversation.
This is
then.
Not my take. I'm saying this is what
I've
heard.
Well, don't even introduce it into our show as a take.
It has to be a take.
Because all of a sudden, that makes us no better than the show after us, the Premature Pirates. we're not doing that. I don't need to be Hack Sparrow for 2 hours. We don't need to do that. If they win on Thursday, then we'll have the conversation, all right?
Hang on, I'm just looking at your picks from... Hang on.
They weren't good. Neither were yours.
I'm 1-1.
Yeah, you're 1-1, so Kansas City blows Buffalo's doors off tonight.
I'm so disgusted at what the Ravens did yesterday. I'm disgusted at that. Started the fourth quarter, I'm cruising. They're clearly going to cover.
Patriots looked horrendous yesterday. Horrendous.
Kirk Cousins is dead to me, too. Embarrassed himself.
He threw 3 picks in the first half?
Yeah, come on, man. You're 1-4. You're at home going up against a winless team. You need to win the game, and you come and do that? Come on, man. It's gross. Disgusting. Hope the Bills
get hammered.
Doors blown off tonight.
You're all about Kansas City tonight, aren't you?
Oh, plus it's the early bird special. You kidding me? At 5 o'clock in the
afternoon. Oh, how
good
is that? How delicious is that?
I'll just be finishing up dinner, probably on dessert by 5. Ready for the game?
I just feel like Kansas City is going to maul Buffalo
for
whatever reason. I just feel like it's going to happen. That Buffalo defense ain't been what it's been in the years past. I don't know, man.
Yeah, with their linebackers banged up, that's not the same.
Yeah, it's not the same defense.
Should be a high.
And I thought Ed Oliver would be more of an impact player by now, too.
Yeah, I like how everyone's like, oh, you know, Buffalo, you know, got the doors blown off by Tennessee coming off a tough loss. Well, yeah, Kansas City lost to Vegas. You don't think they're upset about that?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure
they're
hot.
Yes. Come on. Let's go, Kansas City.
If I get the win, I'm 2-1 on the week. You're 0-3. I'm right there.
I had a bad week. I like my picks. I stand by my picks.
Yeah, how could you stand by your picks?
Because they were good
picks. You took Denver -9.5. They lost outright. How can you stand by that pick?
There wasn't one person that didn't expect the Patriots to maul. You got no Noah Fant. Everyone's hurt on Denver. Bill Belichick has that much time to prepare for a young quarterback. He doesn't lose to young quarterbacks at home, nonetheless, with all
awful.
That time to prepare.
They
were awful.
And Cam Denver did everything in their power to give the game away late.
Yeah, and Cam Newton was terrible.
Yeah, what was that late-game interception by Drew Lock all about? Like, why would you even give them that chance?
Two.
If you're Vic Fangio, why would you even call that play? The kid throws the ball up, hangs it up in double coverage. What are you doing?
He's trying to gauge how many whiners and complainers he has on his team.
Oh, okay. That's
like
what it was.
COVID. Oh, right. Like with the COVID, yeah. It's a test. See who complains about Drew Lock throwing interceptions. Not on my watch. And then the Rams were awful, too. The Rams were horrendous yesterday, too.
They weren't even in the game.
Have some respect. You lost it. You lost twice to San Francisco last year. You're better on the road. And you, and that, don't even
San Fran's all beat up.
All beat up. Jimmy Garoppolo looked like trash. He got benched last week.
San Francisco needed that game more than L.A. did, though.
Desperately.
That's the difference. That's all that came down to.
Disgusting.
San Francisco loses that game, their season is over, especially in that division. So
I went against my better instincts, too. Usually when a well-coached team gets beat, like San Francisco got beat, like they usually bounce back, and I went against that.
Mm-hmm.
Idiot. Stupid. I'll bounce back. This is why now, my Sundays are ruined. This is why I don't even enjoy Sundays anymore. I hate them, actually. I look forward to Monday.
Well, here you are on your favorite day.
I can't stand Sundays.
The dynamic duo of R.J. Bell and Chris Canty.
We're going to set some kind of record. I mean, we're right there with the Jets, baby.
We are right there with the Jets. 0-6.
Oh, 0-6.
If you just went against R.J. and Chris Canty, you'd be building a new wing on the house.
It's a non-competitive 0-6, too.
Yeah, it really is. We're not even close.
It's really unbelievable.
They're not even not covering spreads. They're getting beat.
Not right. They're giving 9.5, and the team they're picking is losing outright. It's bad.
I don't know what to say, man. Don't know what to say.
Yeah, there are no words. 800-919-3776. Let's get to some of the calls. Let's go to Jim and Edison. Jim, lead us off on a Monday. Rick's favorite day on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot for taking my call. Man, Rick come out with his hair on fire today. Holy moly. I am a Habs fan, though, so I don't have much to talk about. I did want to mention the Giants' offensive line. This is supposed to be the thing. This is why I liked Gettleman from the start, is because he talked about building the hog mollies and having the big team and the defensive and offensive lines. This was supposed to be his concentration, and they're still bad. I mean, I like Daniel Jones, I think, but he has no time. I like Saquon Barkley, I think. When he was playing, he was getting eaten up in the backfield. Where are the lines on this team? Because I thought that's what we were supposed to be working at the past 5 years.
It's been years. Yeah. I mean, I think that the Gettleman apologists are done now. I'm just reading this now on Matt Peart. The highest graded player for the Giants offense yesterday with 25-plus snaps, graded at an 89.7 overall.
Yeah, he played well.
He played well, Dave. He looked good.
Well, I mean, listen, the Giants going into yesterday's game gave up the second most pressures of any team in football through the first 5 weeks. I think they had 99 pressures. So you're talking about 20 a game. Yesterday they had 5 total pressures on the quarterback. So, I mean, the offensive line was better. It was markedly better. And what was the big difference? Andrew Thomas was out of the lineup. Matt Parrott was in the lineup.
Right.
So the fact that Joe Judge has no reservations about playing a third-round pick at left tackle over a first-round pick, a fourth overall pick, I mean, I feel good about that. It sends the right message to the team. Now, I know he says it's not for production, but you can't ignore what you saw yesterday and say what you want about Washington football team, but the strength of that team is that defensive line. And they kept those guys from wrecking the game by and large. I know everybody's pointing to, oh, well, Chase Young forced the interception. Listen, Chase Young got back there, but that shouldn't have been an interception by Daniel Jones. The offensive line held up in protection on that play. That was just a bad decision, a bonehead play by the quarterback. So, I mean, listen, the offensive line was better. Now, does it still leave a lot to be desired? Yeah, it does. And the Giants aren't going anywhere fast this season.
No.
But in terms of what Joe Judge is trying to do, the discipline that he's trying to instill on his team, you think that that's something that's necessary. That's something that's going to give you dividends as you continue to go along in his tenure. It might not show up in the way of tangible wins this year, but that's something that in the long haul is going to benefit this team, this program.
They play for him, right? We've seen that. They play for him, and they're just not that talented of a team.
They're not, Dave, but here's the great part about it. You finally got a win. For all of the messaging that he's been selling his team throughout the entire offseason, throughout training camp, you know, the early part of the regular season, like all of the things that he's been trying to get them to do, now you actually got some results for it. You know, playing hard, playing through the whistle. I mean, the fact that Colin Fackrell was able to come up with that strip sack, which was really just a hustle play because that wasn't a great rush. And then Tay Crowder stays with it, you know, bobbles the scoop initially, but he stays with it, keeps the ball in front of him. Then he's finally able to pick it up and run it into the end zone. Like, those are the things that you work on in practice, ball disruption, all those things. And now you actually can point to a play in the game and say, you know what? Here's it showing up. I mean, listen, this is a scrappy bunch. They got to improve the talent level in a lot of areas of this team, but it's a scrappy bunch, and you got to point to this team trying to take on the identity of the head coach. But the biggest thing that's standing in the Giants' way right now is eliminating the self-inflicted wounds, and when you start talking about it, at the heart of it is your quarterback turning the ball over. He's got, what, 18 starts, 17 games he's turned the ball over. The only game where he didn't turn the ball over was that win in Washington last year.
Yeah, the Austin Johnson running into the kicker penalty wasn't great for you guys either.
Oh, awful. Because they were punting the ball away.
Yeah, I mean, that drive was that was it.
And then they scored points off that, off your bonehead mistake.
Yeah, because then you go for it on 4th and 4. You pick that up, and then there you go. You get a touchdown. So that's 7 points.
It was bad. You know who played well yesterday? Leonard Williams played well yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
Logan Ryan was good, too. Your defense isn't bad. I mean, your defense has definitely been, a bright spot this season.
Yeah, Logan Ryan had a good game, Ricky, right up until you let Cam Sims dunk on you for that touchdown at the end.
Not a great look.
Why would you let him get behind you?
It's a great question. You probably have to ask him.
Oh, okay. I was just asking in that situation. Like, why would the only thing that can beat you is if they air it out and they get a touchdown. Don't let any footballs go over your head.
Yeah, he was
keep everything in front of you.
Relying on the fact that Riverboat Ron would strike again. Let's go for two. Let's just win this thing now with Kyle Allen.
That was a really good play by Jabril Peppers on that 2-point conversion.
Very good play.
Like leveraging Kyle Allen, not letting him run it in, making him throw that ball. It's a good play.
And if you feel bad about your offensive line, just think you should have flipped the game on at 4 and watched Joe Flacco take a 28-yard sack.
I've never seen anything like that before.
I've never seen it. Like when it happened, I had to tweet it out. I'd never seen that before on a football field.
I don't think anybody has.
Well, you have
it's never happened.
I've never seen it.
You just run. It was like a cartoon. It was just running in the other direction.
The 2020 Jets are doing things I've never seen on a football field before. Like, I go back and forth. I'm two minds about it, man. I'm like, should we even waste time talking about the Jets? Because clearly they don't waste time preparing for the games that they're playing in. Or should we just actually talk about it in marvel in the fact that, yeah, this is really unbelievable. This is something we've never seen.
No, I think you have to discuss it.
Yeah, they wasted my time.
It's so pathetic.
It's so bad. I mean, listen, at least Marcus May catches better with his butt cheeks than Chris Herndon catches with his hands.
That's true.
Where was Chris Herndon? Did he play yesterday?
I think he had a uniform on, yeah.
The unicorn?
Yeah.
Yeah. Making an impact. The team is awful, Dave.
Awful.
Awful.
People say, are they going to try to tank? They don't need to try to tank. They don't. They can't win a game. I mean, really, I look at this. They're non-competitive against one of the worst teams in the NFL yesterday.
Yeah, this is like it's like asking for this Jets team to take is like asking Rocky Dennis to not look handsome. It's Rocky Dennis, man. I mean, this is what you're watching. Adam Gase has lost 40 games as a head coach. 31 of them have been by double digits.
Yeah.
31.
It's incredible.
Would you like, here, let's just do a quick two-piece nugget since I took the time to actually write it down. Would you guys care to guess?
I love guessing.
First half. Well, no, first half. I mean, what the Jets have done this year in 6 weeks in the first half.
What does that
point
mean?
Point-wise.
Point-wise, okay. So we've had 6 games. I'm going to say they've put up 17 first half points.
Christopher, Dave says 17. Would you like to go higher or lower than 17?
Do I want to go higher or lower
three points
than
on
17?
Average.
I'm going to go, let's go under.
So you go under. You're both wrong because it's a little bit higher. Give them a little bit of credit. They've been outscored 114-29 in the first half.
29.
Rick, they're on pace for the worst point differential in the history of the NFL. The history of the NFL. The worst. I think they're minus 110 right now. They're on pace for, what is it, minus 293? And the worst point differential in the NFL's history was the 76 Buccaneers, who were minus 287. That's the kind of team that you're talking about. Like an all-time bad team. Historically bad.
Yes.
Like, not only are they probably going to go winless on the season, because I can't point to one team on their schedule where I think they could actually
they
be.
They got mauled by Miami yesterday.
Miami took their foot off the gas after the first half, Dave. Miami, like, it was a wrap.
If Miami needed to win, like, if Miami needed a 42-0 win to clinch a playoff berth and it came down to needing points, they could have won that game by 7 touchdowns. I really believe that.
Yeah, it wasn't close, Dave. It wasn't even competitive. And then to compound the issues, you had all the penalties in the first half. Would they have 6 penalties in the first half?
Yeah, they had more penalties than first downs in the first half.
Yeah. Well, Derrick, I mean, that ain't hard to do. They went 3 and out on 7 of their first 8 possessions.
Derrick Henry actually had more yards yesterday than the entire Jets team had.
Oof.
If anyone was wondering.
Oof.
You know, the Jets have only exceeded 300 yards of offense in one game all season. One game, the entire season. In a league right now that you can't help but score points.
Yeah, they can't score points. They are terrible. You when you watch the Giants, you thought to yourself, this is bad football, right? At least I did. Like, it was bad.
That was bad football. That was bad football.
You feel good about the win, but you're like, I'm watching. You feel dirty. You need to shower. It's bad football. When you watch the Jets, you need to put a hazmat suit on. Like, it's terrible. It's honestly, no, it's
you
got to go. Like,
you need you watch it, and then you feel like you need to call up your doctor and get a shot of, like, I need some penicillin.
Yes.
I feel gross.
I could have mercy.
It's
it's awful.
Almost like, remember the scene in Ace Ventura when he realizes that Finkel was Einhorn?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Then he's in the shower, like, brushing his teeth. Like, he's all
burned his clothes,
up the,
too.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
His mouth, that was soap.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's how I feel like after I watch a Jets game.
It's terrible. Watching the Jets is painful.
And it's only going to get worse, too. I mean, you traded one of your more vocal leaders. You got rid of McClendon.
You traded a captain.
So he's gone. Because, God forbid.
You got to feel good for Steve McClendon, though, right?
Oh.
Getting the hell out of there and going to an actual title contender in Tampa.
Yeah, we're the opposite of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
Like, when he's like, I want volunteers, not hostages. All we have is hostages right now.
That's all you have.
That's it.
That's all you got. I don't know how ownership can continue to allow Adam Gase to coach his team. Like, and I've heard all the arguments, well, if you get rid of him, then the team might actually be competitive and you would jeopardize having the number one overall pick. At this point, that's down the road. You got to look at what's going on with this team right now. You are literally lighting a season on fire. And I've never played for a head coach in the National Football League that was just willing to give away games and not try to have any purpose to what you're doing. That's essentially what you'd be doing if you're Chris Johnson and you allow Adam Gase back in the building this week. You would essentially condone mediocrity and your team really not having any purpose for the rest of the year. That's what it is. The guys don't believe in the plan, the path that he lays out for victory every single week. They don't trust the game plan. They're not buying in. And what's worse is they don't even give the effort. So if you're the owner of the team, this is more – you're going to see – all you're going to see is more of what we saw on Sunday afternoon down in Miami. A team that looked inept, looked incompetent, and worse, looked like they didn't care.
You'll probably see less, Chris. That's the scary part. You'll probably see less. But you'll see, they already have a lack of talent, and then you mix them just as the effort, as the season goes further along, you're going to get less and less effort. They start trading all the guys. The guys that are, talented. That other teams want, you start trading them off?
Oh, yeah. Guys in the locker room are looking around like, what are we doing? We just got rid of Lev Bell last week. We're getting rid of Steve McClendon
an hour after the game. Anything not nailed down is going to be available via the trade. Really?
I don't exactly. But I'm just saying, in terms of the mentality, the attitude that guys in that locker room are going to have, Dave, they're going to mail it in. They don't care about it. They're not going to care. Why are they going to sacrifice themselves and put themselves in harm's way for a team that is already showing you by the decisions that the general manager is making, they're punting on the season? Why would you even care? Head coach is not going to be around next year. What difference does it make? Until you hold somebody accountable, you're going to see more of what you saw on Sunday. And to Rick's point, it's actually probably going to get worse. I don't know how an owner can allow that to continue to happen. The team is not going to draft Trevor Lawrence and then all of a sudden just become that much more competitive.
No.
Like, you got to change the culture around your organization. It's awful right now.
Yeah, but here's what frustrates me the most, though. We said this at the time. Like for for you to not think that this is how this thing was going to end up is craziness.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what do you think is going to happen? I mean, this is exactly what was going to happen. You saw it happen in Miami.
Yeah. And now they're finally starting to pull out of it.
Yeah, they're finally pulling out of it. Like, did you think that this wasn't going to happen with Greg Williams at some point?
Oh, yeah. That whole back and forth before the game, all of that stuff, and Greg Williams saying it's not his fault. Of course it was going to happen. Of course, Greg Williams' reputation is on the line. Like, he doesn't want people to think that he all of a sudden forgot how to coach football. But the whole thing, my whole thing with that is, Rick, we know Greg Williams as a coach. We know Greg Williams can coach defense. We knew that. We don't know about Adam Gase as the head coach. So when people are starting to say, well, how could Greg Williams come out and say that? You knew Greg Williams was going to come out and say that stuff because he's coaching under a guy that doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
Well, because it's on his resume. What's happening right now is on Greg Williams' permanent resume.
Oh, yeah, no question. No question.
And he's starting to catch the stink of Adam Gase.
Well, doesn't everybody that's around him?
Hey, tell me if you guys felt the same way. Because I've seen this before because, again, I played on plenty of bad teams with bad coaches. Did it not feel like Joe Flacco, like later in that game, on second and third down, when he just heaved it out of the end zone, was like an F you to the head coach?
No, that felt like I'm not going to stand in here and get hit. That's what that felt like to me.
It almost like I hate this play, and I'm just going to throw it like into the stands.
You think so?
I just felt like that way. Because there'd be times during our practices where we'd be like going over stuff and guys hated the coach.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like, okay, this is what I want you guys to do. I want you to break it out and then come back and dump it in. And the guys were so sick of what he was saying that the guy would purposely, as he was dumping it, he would just shoot it over the glass and completely ruin the entire drill. That's what it felt like to me for some reason.
It could be. Listen, I wouldn't rule it out, man. Like, I wouldn't rule it out. It's clear that the players feel a way about Adam Gase. And it's all negative. And so, yeah, Joe Flacco could have been giving his head coach the bird. But I felt like that was more about Joe Flacco having that clock go off in his head and saying, I'm not going to take any unnecessary hits because this team ain't going anywhere. So why am I going to sacrifice my body for a bunch of losers?
It's bad.
Yeah, probably.
You know what I'm saying?
Like,
really
But you know what, Rick? You know what the really bad part about it is? We're sitting here laying out two plausible theories as to why Joe Flacco threw that ball into the fourth row of the stands. And either one of them can be true. So what does that say about your program right now if you're Chris Johnson and you're Joe Douglas? You're in a state of emergency. You have to do something. There's no way you can allow the status quo to continue. No way. Adam Gase's key card should not work with him getting back in the building today. It shouldn't. And I don't give a damn who you make the interim head coach, but at least you're firing somebody and you're holding somebody accountable for the trash that we've had to watch for the first 6 weeks of the season.
Yeah, I don't even know if you could spark this team at this point.
No, you can't.
No.
They're not good enough. They're not talented enough to win games. They stink.
No, I know they stink, but I mean, that's really where we're at, though, because I know talent-wise they're not good. But on top of that, I mean, they give no effort.
No effort.
So they're not well coached.
Really, no.
They give no effort, and they're not talented. You wonder why we're talking about the worst margin of loss in the history of football? Why we talk about 0-16 as a realistic possibility? How can you win a game right now? How is it possible?
You can't. No, you can't. It's impossible. I mean, you just got your doors blown off in by Miami.
Who's
that? In one half, because Miami didn't play in that second half.
No.
They didn't play football.
You saw Joe Douglas. They panned at Joe Douglas. Did you see his face?
Oh, yeah. That was bad.
Every time they went to him. Every time. Unfortunate for him, he had the mask on.
No, I was talking about, but he wasn't the one with the trash bag on his head?
No.
With the mask over it?
The mask over it?
So Seth Walder, ESPN Analytics. The Jets now have a 57% chance to get the number one overall pick in the draft per FPI.
They're going to have the number one pick.
Yeah, you're going to get Trevor Lawrence.
They're going to get Trevor Lawrence. It'll be the number one overall pick. But, I mean, I just feel like, Dave, you got to try to use the last 10 games of this season to try to develop whatever young players that you have on this team. I mean, there are going to be some young guys that are going to be a part of this turnaround, whether Jets fans want to believe it or not. And the most important thing that you can do is try to use these games as opportunities for development. Kind of like what coaches in college do with spring ball or what you do with preseason games. That's essentially what you're using the last 10 games for. But it's going to be hard to do that if you got a bunch of guys out there that aren't giving any effort.
How long do you guys think, how many more weeks of watching this do we start with the old hackopotamus takes like the Jets would lose to Clemson? That's coming.
Oh, yeah, they got to cut that out, though, man. Come on now. Stop.
You know that's I guarantee that's coming.
No, these. I mean, listen.
They'd kill Clay.
You got. There's a difference between professional players and college players, all right? There's a difference. I mean, I don't disagree
with you, but how many? I mean, every single year it feels like they take the worst team in the NFL, and that conversation starts.
Yeah, but that's
well, how many? Well, how many people that played in the actual NFL would say something like that?
None.
Exactly.
Zero.
So no, don't put any credence into that stuff.
Joe Sports Talk Show host.
Yeah.
Did you see? Speaking of which, did you guys watch the post game? The Jets post game last night?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
First of all,
I had to.
I don't know if Chad is like off Broadway doing some Hamilton stuff, wearing the powdered wig. I don't know if he's playing George. Like I don't know what he's playing.
In the room where it happened.
He's got the beautiful powdered wig. But at one point, my favorite part of the entire post game was when Bart's like, "Hey, making me sweat. I gotta fix my makeup." And he takes his back, like as they're still on TV, he takes his backpack out and he starts looking for his makeup.
He doesn't care.
Oh, I was dying laughing. He doesn't care. That's so much better than the game.
Yeah, it was. The post game is right. Like listening to Adam Gase do the virtual press conference. It's great.
He doesn't know what to say. He has no idea what to say.
What is there to say, though, Ricky? What is there to say?
Terrible. All right, let's go. Phone lines all lit up. People want to talk about the locals. Let's start with I don't know his mood today. It's probably horrendous. It is the great Ira in Staten Island. Good morning, Ira. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. No, the mood is good because, you know, it's almost you have to take anesthesia before you put these Jet games on. The thing that annoyed me the most about yesterday, and Fitzpatrick should have lit them up. Miami left 30 points on the board yesterday, is that the sideline, the players, they were lifeless. There was no emotion. Nobody seemed to care. It's something I've never witnessed in 55 plus years of watching football.
Yeah, but Ira,
I remember Ira, with Kotite.
Ira, what are you supposed to be excited about? What was there to be excited about?
Yeah, but you know what? You were a professional athlete. Chris played ball. I played college ball. You know, no matter what, there's still emotions there. You can't be smiling and laughing on the sidelines while you're getting your heads handed to you and you're getting shut out 24-0. It should have been 45-0. And Chris is right. You know, it's just madness that they don't make some type of change right now. And I'll tell you the truth, I like Greg Williams. What he did last week, he shouldn't have gone public with it. But you know what? Maybe he did it for a reason because he doesn't want 2-0-16 records on his resume because he was the defensive coordinator with the Browns when they went 0-16. So, you know, listen, you know, whatever Chris Johnson has to do, he needs to do something. You know, it doesn't matter who the interim coach is. This is just complete madness. There's no talent. I'm glad for McClendon. McClendon's a class guy. Let him go finish his career with the Bucs. Hopefully, you know, they make a nice playoff run. But this is a complete fire sale. All I'm looking now is just I got to look at Perine yesterday. I was disappointed. The guy Ty Johnson that they picked up as a free agent, he showed me a little more. So I don't even know what you could see. Becton's hurt. Donald's hurt. And you know what? Going into this game, I know it's not fair to Mike White or Morgan, who they wasted a fourth-round pick on, but I would rather watch either one of them than see Joe Flacco next week. I mean, what's the point?
It doesn't matter who plays quarterback. At this point, it doesn't matter who plays quarterback. Why are you going to see those guys? They're not a part of your future anyway. The guy you're watching played on Saturday, and he lit up Georgia Tech.
No, that's true, but I can't watch Flacco kid taking 20-yard.
It doesn't matter. Without Sam Darnold, the Jets under Adam Gase averaged 6.5 points a game. 6.5. Less than a touchdown. I'd rather watch you play quarterback for the Jets.
They might as well just do a single wing and snap it to the running back.
They should.
It's
be more productive. I mean, if you watch the game, they're never going to score points.
No, they won't. And Chris, I know you were complaining about the traffic this morning and, you know, good luck in the studio today. But I tell you, you know, if you want, you know, I'll make a phone call. You know, maybe we'll get you in for the interim coach for the rest of the year.
I'm all set. I don't want no associations with what's going on in Florham Park. I'm good.
Thanks for the call, Ira.
I'm good, Ira.
Oh, God.
I don't want no part of that.
A terrific job now. Why would he want that?
Who the hell wants to put their name on that team?
Did you see Adam Gase's press conference too after the game?
Yes, of course I did. Rick, well, I saw the creepy eyes.
No, but we had a couple big plays early that we just didn't hit.
Yeah, he did say that.
Yeah, because Joe Flacco overthrew
every long pass
and underthrew
the bench.
Dude, they were 3-0. That's a I get why you would be upset when you look at the, like, it upsets me when I look at the sideline and there's no life. I get it. I mean, coupled with the fact that there's no fans and everything else, you got to bring your own juice. But, I mean, at a certain point, you have to do something on the field to get the guys on the sideline excited. If you're the defense, you're watching this offense, I mean, what is there to get excited about? It's three and out. And then you get a chance to score points, and I got Joe Flacco walking to the line of scrimmage, and in the center hike snaps the ball into his feet. I mean, you finally get a first down. You finally thought you get a first down, and it's, nope, offensive pass interference. On Griffin.
Yeah.
It took 5 minutes into the fourth quarter to finally convert a third down.
I know. It's bad. It's real. It's I'm not saying this to incite anyone. It's unwatchable.
That's like, not hyperbole either, Dave. It's unless it's your job to talk about this team, I don't know how you watch this.
I'll tell you what, there's three reasons I watch it. I watch it because I love football. I watch it because this is what we do. And I watch
masochist.
It because there are fantasy implications with every game. That's the truth. Well,
the only reason I watch it is because we have to talk about the Jets. Otherwise, I wouldn't watch it.
So if you didn't,
because as much as
job,
I love football, I hate bad football, Dave.
And it's
hate
so bad.
It. And it's bad football. Like, it's the worst football. Like, it's something about it, man. Like, when you watch the Jets take the field, the way they play the game, man, it's almost like they don't respect the game of football. Like, they don't respect it. The lack of effort, the lack of execution.
Terrible.
It's just that first touchdown to Adam Shaheen, I don't know that you'll see an easier touchdown in the entire NFL the rest of the year.
Well, the second touchdown was pretty easy, too.
The Williams touchdown was pretty easy, too.
And the third one. I never heard of that.
You guys know what I mean. There was nobody out there in the flat. Nobody around the guy. Not anybody around him. The guy caught it and walked in. I don't know what they're doing right now, but it's clear something has to happen. There's a change that has to happen because there's no way, as an owner, you can allow this team to go out there and look like that for the next 10 games. You might lose the next 10 games, but damn it, you got to go out there and compete better than you've shown the first six. You have to.
It's bad. It's bad. All right, let's talk about a little good football. The Monday Night Football preview brought to you by Progressive Insurance. So we have two games tonight, but the one on ESPN is the Cardinals and the Cowboys, the post Dak Prescott era begins for the Dallas Cowboys. This should be a good game, and I know R.J. Bell loves the Cowboys in this game tonight, Chris.
Yeah, I like the Cowboys, too. I think they have to change their formula for success a little bit. First of all, they got to get out to faster starts. We know that. We've been talking about that. But them not having Dak Prescott under center, maybe that gives the team a little more urgency starting out this game. But they got to start out a lot faster than they have in the first five. And Dave, here's the other thing. The Dallas Cowboys got to get back to running the football. Everybody says, well, their passing offense is a lot better than their rush offense, and they're replacing these offensive linemen up and down the board. Tyron Smith out, Lyle Collins out. I hear all of that. But offensive linemen generally run block a lot better than they pass block. So to me, I'd rather have those guys that are replacing those tackles going forward then going backwards. I would rather give the ball to Ezekiel Elliott 25, 30 times than to ask Andy Dalton to drop back 35, 40 times. So that has to be their formula. And, oh, by the way, if you do decide to feed Zeke, that also helps you protect your defense, which is porous, being kind. So, I mean, I think that's what the Dallas Cowboys have to do if they're going to have a chance against this Cardinals team. And they can dominate time of possession. Because this Cardinals team, that's one of the things that their offense struggles with. Because they want to go fast, because it's that up-tempo air raid, they don't do a great job of controlling time of possession. So if you're the Cowboys, that's an easy win. Go ahead and take the layup that Cliff Kingsbury is going to give you with style of play and just dominate time of possession, limit the number of possessions they get, because that's going to help your defense.
So let me get that straight. So R.J. Bell loves Dallas. Turns out Chris Canty loves Dallas.
So you're going cards? You're going cards?
Mortgage on Cardinals.
But that's been – but that, in my opinion, has been the biggest downfall to Dallas over the last couple seasons is what Chris just talked about, is protecting their defense. It really is. Like, their offense is fine. They score enough points. But the reason why they were so effective was because time of possession. I mean, there was that stat. If they held the ball for 30 minutes or more, you couldn't beat them. But now all of a sudden, because you're trying to accentuate Dak, you're throwing the ball all over the place, and your defense is on the field too much. And they're not that good. They get exposed. Kyler Murray's never lost, by the way, in
Cowboy Stadium?
Yeah.
Yep, 6-0.
I don't think he didn't lose in high school.
No, 6-0.
No, but he didn't lose in high school, period.
At all? One time?
He never lost a high school.
Yeah, he never lost in high school. Not once.
I think he was 52-0.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's a beast.
He's a special guy.
Go get that haircut. I would rather, at this point, I would rather get manscaped by someone with tweezers, pulling each individual hair out with tweezers, than have to sit through another Joe Flacco Jets game. And nothing against Joe Flacco.
You say that until that process starts, and then I don't think you'd feel that way.
It's equally as bad, I would imagine. And I could use a wax in the old eyebrow region. It's getting a little bit crazy.
All right. Let's leave it at that, and let's go to Andy in Merrick, who's got trivia of the day. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DCR. It's a beautiful Monday.
Andy, do me a favor, please.
Yes.
At halftime, could you just do me a favor? At halftime this weekend, well, just for the rest of the NFL season, at halftime, could you please call me and say that to me? Like, when I answer the phone, just say exactly what you just said to put me
when
in the
Jets are down 31-3, and he needs a pick-me-up.
Exactly.
Rick, if Dave lets me out of the house, I'll come in person to your door.
you can house him.
All right. With the Dodgers moving on to the World Series, I have a four-pack of Dodgers trivia. Starting with, they have 10 retired uniforms in their history. 3 of them are pitchers. Name those 3 Hall of Famers.
Well, it's got to be Sandy Koufax.
Yeah, Koufax. 1.
Don Sutton, I believe, is retired.
Yep, Sutton.
2.
Is Hershiser can't be retired, right?
I said Hall of Famers.
Mm-hmm. Said Hall of Famers, David. Hall of Famers. Pitching Hall of Famers.
Don Drysdale?
3 for 3. Yes. Nice job, Dave.
Nice, Dave.
There we go.
All right. He holds the Dodgers' single-season record with 49 home runs, done in 2001. Name him.
Most home runs for the Dodgers, 49. Is
had some New York flavor.
Ooh, New York flavor, he says.
Is it? God.
New York flavor. Come on, Dave. Think New York flavor.
I mean, I would have thought. Sean Green.
Sheffield? Was it Sheffield?
No, he got it. Sean Green.
Ooh, yes. Sean Green.
Nice.
Never would have got that.
This Hall of Famer holds the team record with 389 career home runs. Name him.
389 career.
Duke Snyder.
Ooh. Duke Snyder's correct. Dave, bring in the heat. All right.
By the way,
a tough one. Yeah.
Was that, I mean, the Marcus May interception was exactly why the football is named the Duke.
Ah, yes, the infamous butt interception. All right, the fourth one, Dave, not an easy one. Since moving from Brooklyn to Los Angeles, they've had 6 players win 6 NL MVP awards. Some were pitchers, some were positional players. But of those 6 NL MVPs, only one was exclusively right-handed, hitting and throwing.
Oh, my God.
Name him.
Well, Kirk Gibson, but he was a lefty.
Correct.
Do we trust Andy with his, you know, which hand, like righty or lefty after his John Wall debacle?
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
I double vetted this out with ESPN Sports and Information up in Bristol. I am good on this one.
I don't know about this.
All right, now Bellinger bats.
Now he's left and left. Bellinger's
lefty,
left and left.
So it's not him. Kershaw's lefty.
Correct. As so was Koufax.
Right.
That leaves 2 other NL MVPs.
So it could be Garvey. I think
could
Garvey
be.
Was Garvey was righty, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Come on, Dave. I think he's giving you a nudge, Dave.
He's giving me a nudge to Garvey.
And Maury Wills was a switch hitter. You got it with Garvey.
Garvey.
Yes.
Garvey.
You got
there
it.
There we go.
Man alive. Fellas, let's be careful out there. And as always, stay healthy, my friend.
Oh, that was well done. Those are fun questions today.
They're always fun when we get them right. Or you
That's
get them right.
True.
Doesn't matter.
By
who
the
gets
way,
right.
the Braves base running last night.
Oh my! What are they doing?
Was in a big spot. Was the worst base running I've ever seen.
It's awful.
The Falcons have bled over to other Atlanta sports. Finding a way to blow seemingly insurmountable leads up 3-1 in the NLCS, and you're not going to the World Series.
Terrible. Awful.
If I lived in Atlanta, I would change my name to Lead, just in case.
Get it. BCR brought to you by your local Honda dealers. Contact one for a great deal and do that today. All right, a little baseball, a lot of football coming your way in the 10 o'clock hour. 800-919-3776.
I love the way your mind works.
We love it.
Love it.
Yeah, I avoid and I move on. And that's what we'll do now. I mean, guys, we play the game every week where, well, the Jets game is winnable this week, and if not this week, then when will it happen? It's the Bills this coming week. And
we
then
said
it's
that
the
once.
Chiefs.
We said that once. They have one winnable game. Stop.
I mean, how can they possibly win a game?
They can't.
I mean, are you honestly, they're 0-6. Are you, Rick, resigned? And be serious. Don't be, you know, I hate them, this love affair, all this. Do you see any real way that they can win a game this year?
No. Not at the moment, no. Now, that could change. Maybe if, you know, they fire the coach and guys actually start to try. But they are still, I mean, you can clearly tell what Joe Douglas is trying to do. He trades away McClendon. I mean, this is full-on rebuild. This is they're tearing this thing down, and they're going to try to accumulate as many draft picks as they can moving forward.
And while they're doing that, they're going to try to make sure that they get rid of all the strong voices in the locker room that might be in opposition to Adam Gase, because it's clear that he doesn't know what he's doing. To me, that's what the Steve McClendon move feels like more so than anything else. Like, I know Bart said that the organization did Le'Veon Bell a solid last week in trading him to the cutting him and letting him go to the Chiefs. And trading Steve McClendon to Tampa is probably doing him a solid, too. And I'm not going to dispute that, because both of those guys are in better situations. But that move was really about Joe Douglas trying to do everything that he can to support his head coach while Adam Gase still has the job. But I don't know how you can continue to let him have the job if the team goes out there and performs the way it did on Sunday. I don't know how you continue to do that, Dave. Because it's clear they don't have a chance in any of these games. There's no plan. There's no path to victory. Like, you have a team that's going out there and being non-competitive.
But here's my question.
You don't have to practice to do what the Jets are doing.
Here's my question for you. And I agree with you that he's a bad coach. And I agree with you that I don't
Somebody think should be held accountable for it. Yes.
If you replace him, are they now going to win a game? Like, I don't think they have enough talent if you put anybody
but it
as the head coach.
But Dave, they might not win a game. But here's what you do have going for you if you do end up getting rid of Adam Gase. First of all, you show that the organization is willing to hold people accountable for doing their jobs. And if you don't do your job, then you won't have a job here. So that's the first thing that you do. You send that message to everyone throughout the organization. The second thing that you do is you try to put some structure around what you're doing from a preparation standpoint, so you can give young guys an opportunity to play and allow your general manager to evaluate them. I think that's the most important thing that the Jets have going for them for the rest of the season. These next 10 games, it's about evaluating young players, and it's about seeing if you can develop young players. Because it's not just about getting talent into your organization. It's about building up the infrastructure to develop said talent. And the Jets have shown that they can't do that. So at some point, you have to start laying the groundwork in order to do that. And at the foundation of that is accountability. How can you have accountability if you allow Adam Gase to continue to be the head coach?
Well, I don't think
you can.
Well, he doesn't take accountability himself. I mean, you listen to his post-game press conferences. It's not the plays. It's the execution. It's the players. It's always in the players. It could end up being Greg Williams who goes first, just because, I mean, Adam Gase was Chris Johnson's hire, so it could be Greg Williams that pays the price first. But I don't disagree with you. I just don't know. I don't know what the appetite is for Chris Johnson to make a change. Because, and I think part of that has to do with the fact that we're in the middle of a pandemic, so there aren't people showing up to games and everything else.
Sure.
I think if this was actually normal circumstances,
yeah, and you had people revolting at the games, yes,
then they probably make a change. But I think there's a lot of people inside that building that don't mind seeing this team lose games right now because they would rather have the first overall pick.
And that's fine, Rick. And I don't mind watching the Jets lose games either. But they do need to be more competitive. But that's not going to be the case as long as Adam Gase is the head coach. Like, to me, if I were the owner of a team, I don't mind my team losing games as long as we're losing with a purpose. And for me, the purpose for the next 10 games for the Jets should strictly be on evaluating young players and trying to see if they can develop. But if you don't have a game plan, if you don't have the ability for all phases of your football team to work in concert, then how can you get an accurate gauge on what these young guys could be or what they can actually do? You can't. And so to continue to allow this team to go out there and be dysfunctional,
Yeah, Chris, I don't know how many young players we're talking about, in all honesty.
Well, Rick, here's the thing. We don't know. We don't know how many young players we're talking about because we have Adam Gase as the head coach. And it's clear that he doesn't know how to evaluate talent, nor does he know how to put those guys in positions where they do things well. So, I mean, we don't know. We said Miami was a lifeless, talentless team when he was the head coach. And they looked a hell of a lot more competitive under Brian Flores last year than they were in Adam Gase the previous season.
I guess the question for me, Rick, would be what's the downside of firing him now? Like, you move on.
There is no downside.
Okay.
Okay.
Is there any chance you're going to keep him for next year?
Listen, I told you he should be fired. You and Chris are the ones like, I don't know. I don't know.
I said he should be fired. I just said I don't know if Chris Johnson will do that.
He's going to be fired. It's just now it's a matter of when. Now it's a matter of time.
Right.
When. So then I think part of the reason why he hasn't been fired yet is because Joe Douglas wants to do him the solid of at least having everyone back healthy before he makes that decision. There'll be no more excuses.
But who's everyone? You're trading away everyone. You're getting rid of everybody.
Now writing is on the wall.
I mean, what, Denzel Mims is going to be the magic elixir to fix this team?
No one's saying magic elixir, but if the guy helps get you the job, you're going to bend over to backwards to at least give him the opportunity to prove to you that he can coach. If you value the relationship, you want him to understand that when it is time to fire him, that you gave him every opportunity. And I think part of that is making sure all his guys are back. Because no one expected this team. Joe Douglas did not expect the team to be this bad. Like, everyone wants to say, oh, Jets are tanking. They didn't. When they made the moves they made this offseason, they did not expect to be this bad.
No. Nobody expected them to be this bad.
And now that he realizes that they are this bad, now you let the phone ring and whoever you want, make a fair offer and you can have him.
You can have. I mean, honestly.
So what happens with Sam Darnold once he comes back healthy? What do you do with him?
You play him.
You got to play him. You have to play him.
Of course.
I mean, I don't know what good it would be. One of these teams that wants to trade for him now, I don't know what good that would do. And I don't know how you could trade him now. I mean, he's the only reason you want to watch these games.
If you got an offer that you thought was big though for him,
that's what I'm saying. That's the part of it where I don't know what you do with Sam Darnold.
Yeah, but why would you get an offer now though, Dave? That's that big. He's not gonna. I mean, he's gonna pick up a system in enough time to actually help your team win now.
No.
So why wouldn't you just wait?
You probably should.
Why else are you gonna watch the Jets if they trade Sam Darnold? Tell me why you're turning the Jets on.
Because they're your team.
No.
Yeah. Yes, I'm telling you because they're your team.
Turning it on
reason.
And paying attention to it are two different things.
Okay, so here's what I'm saying, Rico, and I guess the reason why I asked the question is if you have a team that's going out there and being non-competitive, and you put Sam Darnold in the middle of it, do you think that there's something that's actually good that's going to come out of that scenario? That's the thing that I worry about. Like, if you put Sam Darnold out there and you have a team under Adam Gase that continues to go out there and not only not compete but not give effort. You're putting that kid in a bad situation, and that's only going to hurt his value when you go to move him this offseason.
Yeah, but he's already been in a bad spot the entire time Adam Gase has been here.
Yeah, but you could be in a worse spot because he can get hurt and he could have some injury where you're talking about him having to have surgery and them not knowing what kind of player he's going to be on the other side of that.
Well, you're not
they already put him
bench.
In the game when the kid got slammed on the shoulder and separated in a short week on a Thursday night game. They've already done that.
Yeah, but you're not going to sit him out. I mean, that's not an option. He's gotta play.
Ricky, but all I'm saying is I agree with you. I think that you need to play Sam and you need to try to have him show well so you can build back some value when you do go to move him this offseason. I just don't know how you do that if you have Adam Gase as the head coach. That's what I'm trying to get to. So you what is there to be gained if you fire Adam Gase? I think that's what it is to be gained. Yeah, your team looks more competent.
Yeah, but at that point, I mean, if Joe Douglas starts trading away all the talented guys you have anyway, it doesn't matter who that new head coach is going to be. Like, whoever's the interim head coach.
Sure.
I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, will they try harder? Yeah, they'll try harder. But that's
the only thing that matters, Rick.
But Chris, how long will they try hard, though? I mean, they're already 0-6.
Well, I think they'll try a lot harder. Because you're talking about somebody in the organization actually being held accountable for not doing their job well. When you send that message, that trickles down to everyone. Not just the coaching staff, but the players in the locker room too. So that's what I'm saying. I think if you make the move to get rid of Adam Gase, you get more effort. I mean, R.J. Bell was on the show last week talking about that. You usually get a bump when you fire the head coach that next game because guys give more effort. Guys get put on notice. All I'm saying is I think that's the move that should be made because that's what there is to be gained out of the rest of the season. There is no – you said it yourself. There's no real downside to firing Adam Gase. So what's the upside to keeping him?
To continue to lose.
But you're going to continue to lose anyway. You're trading everybody away. That's going to happen anyway.
You're terrible. Atlanta has a win. They're going to win more games. The Giants have a win. They're going to win more games. Washington has a win. They'll probably win another game or two. You're going to wind up with them.
Yeah, but I mean, if you really wanted to be petty, I mean, you could seal the deal. I mean, you could seal his fate. If you made him sit around for all 16 of these things and go 0-16, that's a wrap. This team look as bad as it's looked, and the offense looked as bad as it's looked. Hey, that's it. I mean, where's he working again?
But do you really care?
That doesn't matter.
I do a little bit. Really?
Yeah,
if you're Joe Douglas, your goal is not to make him unemployable. Your goal is to move on from him and bring in someone competent. You say
you're
that
not bringing
you're,
anyone, but
you're
there's
angry.
No one. But there's no one inside. Like Greg Williams is not going to be the interim head coach. It does not feel like Greg Williams has set himself up to be the interim head coach.
No, in fact, he might go with Adam Gase.
Well, he might go first, and then Adam Gase may follow. So you tell him who's going to be. Joe Vitt?
Why not?
Dowell Loggins?
Why not?
Cooter?
It doesn't matter who it is.
Put Cooter in charge?
I don't care.
Does it matter?
No, it doesn't matter, but I don't. You're not going to get the – I don't think that you're going to – just because this team is not a very good team, that you're going to get the result that you're expecting by just changing
the right.
coach.
I think the
result I'm looking for is more effort. And I think I would get that result just because the effort can't get worse.
Yeah, well, no, it can't get worse, I mean, which is sad to even say that. But I don't – at a certain point, I mean, there's a reason why you say ship home the cars. I mean, I don't care who the head coach is. Once your team – and this is one of those sports that once your team is done – and they're getting, they're about, what, 2 weeks away from being completely done, finished, after they get blown up by the Bills and the Chiefs.
Uh-huh.
And that's it. Like, I don't care who the, like, you could fire the coach all you want. Like, our season's over. Like, I'm going to do my damnest to make sure I don't blow an ACL.
The season's over. You're absolutely right. But that doesn't mean that you don't go out there and play the games. And what I'm saying is, okay, you got 10 more games left this year. Okay, how can we use those 10 games in a constructive way in order to start the process of being able to build back this program? And to me, the thing that you do is you play all of the young guys that you want to get a long, hard look at, and you can evaluate them and see if they can be a part of this process. Because we've talked about it before. Even if you draft Trevor Lawrence with the first overall pick, there are going to be some guys on this team right now that are going to be relied upon in 2021 in order to support that young quarterback. And so to me, you want to try to develop those guys as much as you possibly can. You can't burn 10 games. And that's what you would be doing if you kept Adam Gase as the head coach and you didn't hold somebody accountable for what you saw through the first third of the season.
You're probably right. I would rather have him have to wear this.
No, oh, okay.
He's going to have to wear it anyway, Rick. This is going to be on his resume. This is going to be, if not the worst, one of the all-time worst NFL teams. I gave you the statistic on point differential last hour. Like I said, they're on pace to have a minus 293 point differential.
Which
would be an NFL record. That would beat the 76 Buccaneers. That's where they're at right now.
Team.
This is an awful football team. So, I mean, Adam Gase will have to wear that on his resume, and you're right. He'll never be a head coach in the National Football League again. I'm going to be honest, guys, I don't know if he'll even be a coordinator in the National Football League again. If I was a coach or if I was a general manager or if I was an owner, I wouldn't let him anywhere near my team.
He's
That's
terrible.
How bad this has been.
Val in the Bronx. Val, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. It seems like I'm always calling you guys and talking at bad times. But then again, it seems like the Jets.
All we have is bad times, Val.
All we have is bad times, exactly. I got two questions for you. I'm not even going to get into the Adam Gase thing because as far as I'm concerned, he's a dead man walking. So whether it happens today, tomorrow, or at the end of the season, it really doesn't make a difference. Hopefully Joe Douglas is already looking at who the next guy is. My two questions, though, are at what's going on right now, it looks like we're almost pretty much guaranteed to get that first pick.
Why
is there really a problem?
Why?
57% chance, Val. 57%.
You guys go through it all the time. Show me a win somewhere in the schedule. I don't see it. And even if we get one, somebody else going to get more than that. So my question is, assuming we do get Lawrence, is there really such a bad thing? At this point, Darnold, you know, Flacco is showing that it's not really his fault, but really and truly, he has no value. So we can't really get too much for him. And his value as far as how much we would have to pay him probably drops too. So is there really such a problem in keeping both of them and just trying to get that
you're
new
not
guy?
Keep, no,
you can't keep Darnold and Lawrence. No.
Well, why not?
Because you can't pay two quarterbacks, Val. You're going to take the third pick in the draft. You're going to take the third pick in the draft and keep him as your backup quarterback?
Until we figure out which one is good. We're not guaranteed that Lawrence is going to.
So then you might move on from Lawrence if it doesn't work out with him?
Oh, my God almighty.
I mean, come on,
which one is good? You don't draft the quarterback first overall to figure out who's better, him or the guy you drafted third overall.
And beyond that, you got to make a decision on Sam Darnold's fifth-year option this offseason.
And you want to get the equity back.
There's no way the Jets would do that.
He's going to have some value.
You just answered my first question.
Not what you
question.
Gave up. He's not going to. You're not going to get the value.
No, but you'll get something.
Yeah, you'll get something. Yeah.
You'll get something that you can now turn again, into a different player.
Yeah, which is fine. But I mean, it's with these dysfunctional teams here in New York, all you do is just you take an asset and you devalue it to the point where when you do decide to make a deal, it's just you get 50 cents on the dollar.
I'm just amazed that we're here with Sam Darnold already, though, guys. Through no fault of his own, right? This is not on Sam Darnold. Even if they end up with the number one pick, they draft Trevor Lawrence. It's not Sam Darnold's fault that it didn't work out here in New York.
They've done him no favors.
They've done him no favors, man. But, I mean, this is a kid that was the third overall pick 3 years ago. Jets fans were ecstatic when they got him. Mike Maccagnan didn't walk. He ran to the podium to turn in the card. And now you're talking about a situation where you can't wait to get rid of him.
How often do you see a quarterback taking third, top five? And 3 years in, they're worse than when it started.
You never see it. And beyond that, Dave, 3 years after that, you're getting rid of them. You don't see that. I mean, I understand what the Arizona Cardinals did in that unprecedented move with Josh Rosen and Kyler Murray, but you don't see that in the National Football League. You don't take a quarterback with a top 10 pick, or top 5 pick, and then move off of him after 3 years. That doesn't happen. But that's exactly what the Jets are going to do if they get the first overall pick.
Yeah, you have to. 800-919-3776. You have no choice. If you have the top overall pick, you have to take Trevor Lawrence and move on from Sam Darnold. This Saturday on ESPN Plus pay-per-view, it's UFC 254, UFC lightweight champion Khabib, a return to the octagon to take on UFC interim lightweight champion Justin Gaethje in a unification bout. Khabib Gaethje, UFC 254, only on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. Did you watch the boxing match on Saturday?
I did.
It was a good fight.
I was underwhelmed.
Well, the second half got entertaining.
Yeah, but the first seven rounds, I mean.
Lopez is good.
No, he's good. I mean, Lomachenko didn't do much, I mean, at all.
No.
He wasn't.
Shouldn't have taken him so long
rounds.
To figure out Lopez, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know. I was expecting. I'm happy that he won, but right. Maybe I just set my expectations too high.
And by the way, how did anyone, 119, 109, she had it?
Yeah. Oh, how many? I mean, in the first seven rounds, I had Loma winning one round in the first. Seven.
Okay, but and in the final five.
Yeah, I mean, he came back, and then
what did he win? Three rounds, four rounds,
and then what Lopez did in the final round to finish.
But she had
him
winning one round.
Yeah, that's
aggressive. What freaks me out about boxing judges.
That's why you got to knock someone out.
You can watch the same fight. Watch the same fight, and she has 119-109.
That's why you don't leave it up to the judges.
You're right.
I mean, especially when you're going up against the guy, you know, the champ. You want to make sure that they know that you won the fight.
He clearly won that fight.
Clearly won the fight.
Yeah.
Clearly won the fight. I was a little bit bored in the beginning. That kid's a stud though, man. 23 years old.
He's something else, huh? He's really good. Really, really good. Today on ESPN Daily, Aaron Rodgers struggles. The Steelers and Titans remain undefeated in a loaded AFC. And the Jets, I added that on my own, by the way. And the Jets remain winless. That is in the copy. Bill Barnwell gives his analysis of week 6 in the NFL on ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts.
Rico, you know if an AFC team wins the Super Bowl, Dave will never let us live that down, right?
Yeah, it'd be torture.
Well, yeah.
No,
well, look
torture.
At the top of the AFC. I mean, Baltimore, very good. What are they, 5-1? Kansas City, 4-1, terrific. Pittsburgh, I mean, arguably Pittsburgh looks like the best team in football right now. They are unbelievable, and their defense is terrific. And Tennessee's an excellent team. The loaded AFC.
See what he's doing, right, Rico?
I know exactly what he's doing. Okay. This is the best is he actually made this statement not knowing, having any idea. Like he messed up.
He messed up, but he doubled down on his mistake.
It's working for him now. At this point, it's working for him. It's actually worked out perfectly for him.
It's working for him now. AFC is terrific.
The AFC is good.
Speaking of the AFC, what is Keyshawn Johnson talking about?
Trade the number one pick.
Trade the number one pick. What is he talking about? Has he lost his mind?
Exactly what you know exactly what he's talking about. Where did Sam Darnold go to school?
USC.
Where did Keyshawn Johnson go to school?
Okay, USC. So he's just trying to back his guy.
That's his
guy. Everybody knows this is not Sam Darnold's fault. We're not blaming Sam Darnold for this. But let's be honest. If the Jets continue to trend in the direction that they're going and they don't win any games, they are going to draft Trevor Lawrence with the number one pick.
100%.
Like, listen, if you're comparing Sam Darnold and Trevor Lawrence and you're looking at the upside of both prospects, because even though we've seen 3 years of Sam, he's still a prospect. We don't have a definitive answer as to whether he's a franchise quarterback. There's no question that Trevor Lawrence has more upside than Sam. Way more upside. Trevor Lawrence has done a lot more in his collegiate career than Sam Darnold did at SC.
Not even close.
It's not even close.
What is he, like 30-1?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I have no idea what Keyshawn Johnson is talking about. None. He's lost his mind.
Yeah, it's not.
Well, there's a couple benefits,
not right.
too. I mean, you got to think about this. There's a couple benefits, too. Here's the one thing you don't know about Sam Darnold. Like, how much irreparable damage have you done already to Sam Darnold moving forward? Like, you don't know. Like, there's no answer to that. Has he been able to stay healthy? No. The other thing is you're going to reset the money. Like, yeah, you can trade the first overall pick and start putting pieces, but at that point, you're already through.
But you already got to make a decision about what you're going to do with Sam Darnold's contract before you even trade that pick.
Yeah, and if you do decide to trade that pick, which they're not going to do, I mean, can you put enough pieces around Sam Darnold to be where you need to be when all of a sudden you're paying Sam Darnold top of the market quarterback money?
Probably not, Rico. No. But beyond that, though, how could you pass up on Trevor Lawrence when you just don't know what Sam Darnold is?
You can't.
You don't know. He's still a question mark. You don't know. So I'm not going to pass on a guy that has the kind of upside that we saw from Andrew Luck or John Elway for an unknown quantity in Sam Darnold.
And even though it's been no fault of his own, who has done nothing for you in 3 years?
Again, it's trading Sam Darnold is not saying we're blaming Sam Darnold for what happened the last 3 years. It's not.
It's just a smart football decision.
It's just a sound football decision, yes.
And I'm telling you, and I think we all agree, he will go to a good system and he will flourish there.
And you know what, Dave? Depending on what we see from Sam Darnold in the second half of this season, you might be able to get a second round pick for him. Who knows? You might be able to.
And then you could draft the receiver, which you should have done for this guy, for the next guy.
You did. He just hasn't played yet.
Right. Well, at some point this year. All right, let's take a listen to Jets head coach Adam Gase. Because he has a couple of soundbites that I want
to
hear.
We need to? Really?
I think we should. Because there's a soundbite here. What makes you feel you can fix this? What do you think he could possibly say in this soundbite?
Nothing meaningful.
Well, let's take a listen. Adam Gase, what makes you feel like you can fix this thing?
It's different things. I mean, it's just keep running when we got a guy beat. It's making sure when we pick up a blitz, we physically get the guy removed from the hole to where the quarterback doesn't have a guy in his lap. You know, this game was way less mental issues. It was physical. You know, just they took advantage of a few things early in the game on some of their pick stunts. They did a good job coming out, and those three interior guys set some things up for those guys in the pass rush. And, you know, it was tough for our O-line to pick up, and then we kind of got that settled down, and then, you know, losing those two guys, and it just kind of started up again.
So there you go. It's fixable.
No, it's not fixable. What he was doing there was just, again, just pointing out that it's always the players.
It's the execution by the players. It's not the scheme.
This time it wasn't mental. Now he's running out. Like, there's only so many excuses you can make. Now this time it wasn't mental. It was physical. I don't know from physical. Who knows? I'm sure he'll find something creative.
Yeah, he can point the finger as well.
Spiritual, Rick. Our spirits were down.
That's next week. Is spirits.
The belief. It's a belief thing.
The handshaking is week 10. Chris in Manhattan. Chris, you're next up on 98.7.
Oh Jesus, Lord! I was hoping you wouldn't come to me next.
Good morning, we can put you back on hold, Chris, if you don't want to talk to us.
If you want to compose yourself.
No, I want to talk to you. I mean, because I was a little rude last time. I got off a little abruptly, but, you know, Rick hit me in the gut with something I wasn't ready for. And Rick, man, I love you, man, but you're going to make me have a DMX moment, bro.
Why? Well, what happened? What did I do?
Oh, my God. You didn't just say that you want Gase to be here long enough just so he could wear it. You know, bro, I got to stand through that pain, man. You know how many thousands of us? Man, I'm that dude right now who's on the rooftop walking back and forth. You see a bald dude walking back and forth on his cell phone, you know, and Dave and Chris are trying to talk me off the ledge all sweet. You want to be Martin Riggs and say, hey, buddy, you want to jump? I appreciate it because, you know. But
hey, what's the address? I'll come join you. What's the address?
Hey, baby. No, I'll come see you. All right. Well, we can meet halfway, man. Man, follow the yellow brick road, man. It's going to be me, Rick, and Ira. And we're going to go through this.
Even Ira can't take anymore.
What?
Even Ira's at the end of his rope. Ira's the most optimistic guy I've ever heard.
He's in the same boat paddling upstream using his hands. And we're about to go through this again now, about to sell me on another savior, all right? But he's going to come to our franchise. Owner don't know who to hire, when to fire him. This is why I don't want you to say that too loud, Rick, because the Johnsons might hear you, and they might, doggone it, they might extend this dude.
No, they're not. He's going to get fired.
There's no way.
He's going to get fired. He's going to get fired. It's a matter of when.
The thing I wanted to say, though, did you watch the telecast yesterday, especially the halftime part?
I watched all of it.
Yeah. Well, you had Boomer on there. Did you hear Boomer's part? And he was talking about, you know, the listlessness of the sideline. Okay, now, I know you heard Coach Cower right after him. What did Coach Cower say? He said, you know, the Miami Dolphins were just like that before Flores got there. Now, if there's anything that wants to make you bang your head against the floor is, I wonder what both situations have in common.
Adam Gase.
Shall we walk there slowly?
No, but we said this. Here's the thing, though. We said this at the time, man. This was not – we were not on board with them hiring Adam Gase from the second that they did it.
Matt Rhule was the hire.
And you reap what you sow.
Matt Rhule was the guy.
Every fear every Jets fan I know had about hiring Adam Gase has come true. Every single one of them. And I got to turn on the TV and watch Ryan Tannehill look the way he looks.
He's MVP level.
Dude, have you seen his numbers since he's taken over as a starter in Tennessee?
Unbelievable. Yep. Unbelievable numbers.
Like insane numbers.
I mean, you saw what he did yesterday.
Yeah, between him and Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry.
I realize. Derrick
Henry.
I want
to say he's got the best or the second best quarterback rating since he's taken over as the quarterback of the Titans.
I want to say he's thrown 40 touchdowns and 7 picks.
Yeah.
Something crazy like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not even like, this is not hyperbole. He's in the MVP conversation. He has to be.
Yeah, but see, that's
and I still don't trust him.
Going back to his time
with Adam Gase. That's what Adam Gase can do to a quarterback.
That's what happens. That's what happens because that's the impression you get. Like, it's tough to get that first impression out of your mind.
I still don't trust him.
I think you have to now, no?
Well, I don't think you have a choice at this point with how well he's played and how good that team is.
Yeah, but if you had a choice in the two quarterbacks that were in that game yesterday in Nashville, which one you're taking? Let's be honest.
I guess Deshaun, but
Let's be honest.
It's not just such a huge difference for me anymore.
Okay. All right.
I think you could talk about it.
I think you'd be on that branch by yourself if you're talking about all the general managers around football. Forgetting about the supporting cast, if you're starting a team, how many GMs would take Deshaun Watson versus Ryan Tannehill if those were your two options?
Every single one of them.
But that doesn't deny the fact that he's terrific.
But Deshaun Watson is a perfect example of everyone wants the franchise quarterback. We have to have the franchise set before we can identify the franchise quarterback.
Completely agree. And you've been saying that since they drafted Sam Darnold. You've been saying it. You've been screaming that.
So unless they figure this out, when they get the first overall pick, unless they figure that part out, I don't care how good Trevor Lawrence is. It doesn't matter.
But aren't they still going to tremendously lack talent coming into next season?
Yeah, but I mean, they'll lack talent. But again, it's Joe Douglas with the amount of draft picks and money he'll have is to build around this kid, protect this kid. And if that means, you know, you don't see him early on because you're trying to protect him until you get enough talent, that's got to be the case.
And a part of protecting that kid is having a culture where you hold people accountable when they don't do their jobs. And it's hard to kind of start that culture when you got Chris Johnson insisting that he keeps Adam Gase around.
Now, the whole thing is dysfunctional. I mean, the fact that we're sitting here talking about Adam Gase being the head coach, that's where it started. It was like, what did you expect to have happen with how this whole thing went down?
Not this.
The cluster. What do you mean, not this? Well, yeah, I mean, they have the worst team in professional football.
I didn't expect
that. But shouldn't we have expected that, though? Because
maybe not the worst. Maybe not this. Maybe not this bad.
Chris, you can never expect this.
No, no. Listen, we could never expect historically bad, Dave. You're right in that regard. But just going back to before the Jets hired Adam Gase, when they made that decision that they were going to pick him up as their new head coach, weeks after he had just been fired by the Miami Dolphins, why should we believe that this was going to be any different than what we saw the last 2 years that Gase was in Miami? What had changed in a matter of weeks that would make us think, you know what, Adam Gase probably figured it out? Do we think it was all on the Dolphins organization?
No, we didn't think that. We didn't think it would. I mean, I didn't think it would change. I didn't think it would look this bad. I mean, this is just, like you said, this is historical. Like, I don't think anyone expected this bad.
We expected them to be the worst team in football. And guess what? 2 years ago, Miami was the worst team in football.
And look at them. Look at what they've done.
Yeah, but the beauty of them is they just found what they think is their franchise quarterback. They didn't burn 3 years of the franchise quarterback.
Right. So they found what they think is a franchise quarterback. They're actually winning games now. They have multiple first-round picks next year. I mean, that's a team that is clearly heading in the right direction.
Yeah, and they trust their head coach, which means that Brian Flores will be the head coach for the foreseeable future.
Yes.
So Tua will have that stability. As opposed to when you drafted Sam Darnold, you felt like, okay, if we don't have a great season here with a rookie, which is ridiculous too. What do you think is going to happen with a rookie quarterback? Who, oh, by the way, you had to started three games in 11 days or 10 days to start his career. What did you think was going to happen? You think that Todd Bowles was going to have a ton of success? Or were you setting him up for failure?
You know what? They were more successful then than they are now.
Okay, but then you fired him. If there was any thought that you were going to fire Todd Bowles, he should have been fired before year one of Sam Darnold. Because now the kid's in a tough spot to go into year two. And that would have been with the right head coach. But you only compounded it by hiring Adam Gase.
It's bad all around.
Everything that happened in Miami has now just...
It's bad all around. There's very little positivity.
Come to fruition here in New York.
I want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app. Or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go. Barton Hahn coming your way in a matter of moments. Rex Ryan's going to join the Premature Pirates at noon today. And then on the K Show, Steve Young at 5, Sam Darnold. God knows what he's going to say today. That's going to be a must-listen at 5:30 right here on 98.7 ESPN. Omar, Long Island. Omar, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So how is it a sure thing that Trevor Lawrence will come out? What if he pulls a Peyton Manning and doesn't like the Jets situation and stays in school?
We asked Paul Feinbaum that.
I ask him every week. He says every there's no weekend. Chance. I think it's such an important question, just to see if it changes. He says every week there's zero chance of that happening.
Force the trade.
That's not an easy thing to do. I mean, we heard that Joe Burrow might do that, and Joe Burrow ended up in Cincinnati. So, I mean, that's not – you say it like it's so easy. Like, so
well, isn't Dak Prescott the poster child for making those kind of decisions, though? I mean, why would you stay in college an extra year and risk injury when you can come out and be the first overall pick?
And especially if nothing more to prove. He looked bored last year.
Yeah.
Zero more to prove. Zero. Scott and Bethpage. Scott, you're next up.
Hey, guys. What's going on? My completely leaving politics out of this. In a couple of weeks, there's an election, and Woody is overseas. What happens if the president loses the election, which he might, and Woody comes back? You know, management is in disarray already. This job couldn't be any less appealing. I know Trevor Lawrence, the potential of Trevor Lawrence makes it more appealing. But if I'm Eric Bieniemy, I'm not even looking at the Jets. I'm about face and going to work with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, but you like the flexibility of having the first overall pick. Deshaun Watson's great. But, I mean, Bill O'Brien spent a ton of money. So you'll have...
You guys talked about stability before, and a good organization starts at the top. Look at the Steelers. You know what I mean? There's just more disarray.
Yeah, but you're not getting rid of it. Like, Woody and Chris are not selling the team.
No,
so, yeah, I mean, you got to
And they're not getting rid of
Joe
Douglas. Joe Douglas will be the GM. So.
And he should be.
Yeah, so, I mean, I see what Rick is saying in terms of how it sets up and how you can have a lot of say if you're the next head coach of the Jets. But I got to be honest with you guys. I think that the Houston Texans job is probably a more attractive job even without a first or second round draft pick. Just because you have Deshaun Watson under contract for the foreseeable future, and you're probably going to have a lot of input on who the next general manager is down there. So that's just how I see it.
You know where the odds are?
And those state tax.
That Eric Bieniemy winds up? You know where it is?
Where is it?
Texas.
Wow.
University of Texas.
I think it's a more attractive job, even with the Jets having the first pick.
No, Texas in college.
Oh, University of Texas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They move on from Herman and they bring him in because they're terrible right now.
Yeah,
all right,
but a blank check can change all of that, though, Dave.
But they have that at Texas.
Yeah, but what do you think Texas is giving them?
Yeah.
I don't know why you would ever choose to not go to a good college job. All day, every
because
day.
Want to compete at the highest level.
No.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Kicks them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.